Wow.
You are. Whoa, we only got an hour. Surprise. You know, you expect on Channel 56 when we come on, there's an opening. Either the curtain goes up to start the service at the cathedral, that's a replay, or we come on with the regular festival opening or one of our ads that was prepared for 56. But tonight, we just did a slick transition from me talking about Bible history to just smoking a cigar. And you alert ones that were watching on satellites or other internet or other means that lets you watch us 24 hours a day, unless you're real quick, you will have missed the fact that I was wearing a blue shirt under this jacket, and this is now some strange color. It's a bicycle shirt. As I rode bicycles today, or I rode one at least. We're live.
Yes, sir.
Came here tonight, as we were last night, to check on this Channel 56 audience and see whether or not we're wasting our money. We don't ask you to send any money, but we do ask you to be responsive when we're here live and use the telephone. That the number will go on the screen in a minute. I want to know that we're appreciated. We're here every night from 10 to 11. After 28 years in Los Angeles, there's a pretty vast audience that has identified that at least you can get teaching when you listen to me. That's what I'm about, teaching. And the cathedral, you're welcome to come to if you come because you recognize it's a college classroom in Bible study. I'm going through the book of Romans now, and you're welcome to come. But I don't want anybody there that doesn't come because they're interested in the teaching. I don't ask you to send any money. Don't want any money sent until we first teach you. And then I only want you to give because it's an expression of the value of what you think the teaching's worth. But I do want you to use the phones and let me know you appreciate the time. A lot of people in Los Angeles go to bed with me every night. I am better than sleeping pills for some. I put them to sleep. But tonight we're live. And I brought some things with me I want to show you. And there's several things I want to talk about, but I want to know that you're there and you understand we're live, that you've been listening to the teaching. Night after night, we have come on with a song, taught for almost 55 minutes, and ended with a song. It's a Bible school of the air. And some of you are learning things about Romans, or learning things about Psalms, or learning, you're just learning about God's Word. I want to know you appreciate it. And I want those that are coming to the cathedral to make your reservations. We need your reservations by Wednesday noon so we can send you a pass. You can't just walk in. So get on the telephone. The way a teacher in a university finds out if his teaching is taking root is midterms and finals. You test them. Well, I can't test you, but at least I can listen as you get on the phone and tell me whether or not the teaching is being received and you are being helped by it. Otherwise, after 28 years, cranky 74-year-old, I don't need to buy the time and provide the teaching. I don't estimate, don't do any market surveys. As I said, we never threaten to go off the air because it isn't paying. We're on in Las Vegas all night, Saturday night, and now we're on Sunday night. You ain't going to get any money out of Las Vegas. They're all broke. We're all over the world, shortwave stations all over the world. You don't ever hear me asking you to give money lest we go off the air in Anguilla or Laos or Costa Rica. In fact, last time I checked, I think it's 5 or 6 hours. I give 6 hours a day. Now, if I'm wrong, I know it was a certain amount, and at one time I thought six, but whatever it is, I give a block of time on our 1610 AM station in Anguilla to any local pastor. Any local pastor. If he pastors a church recognized on that island, I give him the time. I don't edit him. I don't require that he agree with what I say. I mean, shine his own light. He's not going to get on the air and badmouth me. I'm not that stupid. I mean, that's just, I'm not paying for something to let somebody just insult me. But I don't care if he teaches a different slant than I teach. Just don't attack me personally, because I don't attack them. I'm giving them free time. A man's gift maketh room for it. All over the world. 5 transmitters, 5 antennas in Costa Rica. 1 FM, 2 AMs, 1 shortwave in Anguilla. Nashville, Dallas, all over the world. You think some listening audience at a refugee camp in Liberia is going to send enough money to support the shortwave station? Or people in Armenia that save their power allotment to turn on the shortwave at certain times to listen? We're in the shortwave business because the third world listens to shortwave. They don't have free press in the third world countries. They have government control press. So the only way they can at least have some expectancy to hear non-government controlled voices is shortwave. I mean, Saddam, when he was around, couldn't silence my voice. And the giant transmitters that Russia built to jam Western broadcasting, I was on. Ramon. We do it because this church is the pillar, as I preached last night or yesterday, and the ground of the truth. We want it to go out. I could shut off all TV in Los Angeles and make the parishioners come there. But there are shut-ins that depend on this ministry. There are people, I remember when I was 24 hours a day on a local station. You don't have a big audience between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. But that's when the people in my church needed to be able to tune in a voice of faith. I'm trying to get my congregation to be serious about manning these phones 24 hours a day. Until you always have a voice here that you can call and leave a message for your pastor. We have kept a voice for 28 years in this city and around the world. We're on 5 satellites now. Every Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8:30 Sunday morning, staggered on the satellites in the time zone, from London, England, to Indonesia, to South Africa. So we sure don't have to pay about $8,000 a day to be on 56 if you don't appreciate it. But if you appreciate it, like Las Vegas, if you appreciate it and let me know it, that's why I exist. I mean, some pseudo-teacher doesn't care. He looks at the bottom line. I live to communicate and unpack God's Word. I don't want to convert anybody. I might want them to be converted, but I can't convert them, and I don't try to convert you. I'm obsessed with unpacking what God's Word says with the best manuscripts we can find and gain access to, and unpack the words until at least you can feel some certainty you're as close to what the original statement was, and then you do what you want with it. We don't harangue at you. We're not, like most preachers, harping on sins that they know nothing about. You know, I'm not after those kinds of preaching topics that carries the name of hide splitting and telling you about your sins. I have an idea that most of you sinners know exactly what sin is. I don't need to define it. You're well practiced in it. I'm interested in telling you the good news that Jesus Christ provided a way that all of us can do. We can't be perfect, but we have a capacity to trust. And for trust, God gives us the rest. And I'm preaching a message that is periodically lost in the history of the church, as there's that tendency as old as Satan telling Eve that a knowledge of good and evil is what will make you like God. No, knowledge of good and evil will only teach you how far short you fall of being like God. I'm interested in teaching you that God's looking for what you want from friends and loved ones. He wants you to trust Him. And I'm in the business of demonstrating how trustworthy God is when you hang your body on His Word. Now, if you appreciate the message, I want to hear about it. You want to come to the cathedral? Come as a serious student, and we welcome you with open arms. And everybody ought to come once to see the greatest Bible collection of manuscripts ever assembled in private hands. And I'm here tonight with one I've been looking for a long time, just arrived today. And we'll be going on display in the Station 50, or maybe the new station we've just developed on the mezzanine floor and not put anything in it yet. I've got the Aleppo Codex with me tonight. I want to talk a little bit about it, but I want you to call first and let me know that you appreciate this Monday through Friday, 10 to 11, every night as we're teaching the Bible. That's all I do. Now, I do want to send out a prayer request. Everybody here, I think, knows Carl Wiener, who conducts the Bible tours on occasions, as Dr. Craig Lamp does. He just went through triple heart bypass surgery, open heart surgery, a triple bypass. Kind of gross, but most people know it. You take a vein from the ankle to the crotch, in his case, that's utilized in the bypass surgery. He went home last Saturday. I got a call before I came here that he's back in the hospital with what appears to be an infection in the leg from where they took the vein out. I'm asking you all to pray for Carl tonight. I don't always name every prayer request public. I don't miss your prayer requests. I don't pray in public. Jesus said don't pray on a street corner, like Pharisees who want to be seen. Well, I can't think of a street corner that matches being on TV. So I made it my business. Matthew 6 says, don't pray on a street corner like Pharisees. Go in your closet and shut the door and pray to God in secret. Now, I'm not against having a congregation of the church gather. In fact, some of you will remember I used to have a morning prayer meeting. I'm not against assembling, say, the men of my church for a special prayer meeting where we all are praying. We're not going to sit down in a chair and try to one-up one another, showing off our praying ability. I grew up in that hypocrisy. But when you're dealing with the world at large, I don't pray on television. It's a violation of what Jesus said. This is a street corner. I think it's morally wrong in television programs when people are worshiping God and in a private relationship with Him. I said something rather shocking once, and I'm going to say it again. I'm not a pervert who wants to see you and your loved one having a sex act. A profound, emotional, deep, intimate prayer between you and God is the equivalent in what ought to be private. I don't believe you should be exploited with a camera on you when you're pouring your heart out to God. It's morally wrong, and it's nothing but some evangelist wanting to show off how well he affects people. Well, God doesn't need to be shown off in that kind of activity. And I'm in the business of puncturing the balloons of hypocritical traditional Christianity, and old enough, crotchety enough, and been in this way long enough to gladly step on the toes of those that are more interested in spiritual one-upmanship and their grandiose standing with God being shown off. They remind me of the woman that used to come through my dad's town and would put a newspaper ad, "Why, come and see me preach in my sackcloth dress," so she could prove her humility. Truly humble people don't look back to see if they were. So I've been on a crusade for years against phony Christianity. Now, not all of this is phony. Some of it's just plain stupid to be blamed on the leaders who are phony. Don't think I'm right? Know I'm right. You think I'm wrong? Turn the channel. You that know I'm right, get on the telephone. Here's a call from Dallas tonight, watching on the Internet. You can watch us 24 hours a day. After a bike ride today, I stopped into a restaurant with my wife. The manager there watches on Sunday. And we asked him if he had Internet. He said yes. Went into his office and showed him how to... What's easy, you go to drjanescott.com, and if you are using your PC computer to surf the Internet, we have two or three boxes you can punch in, and there we are, coming off satellite, picture and sound, 24 hours a day. Now, he's had that computer in his office for years. And only discovered tonight, he couldn't believe it, when boom, there we are. Well, I guess he could believe it, but there we are. Anywhere in the world, you can pick us up. If you have satellite dishes, you pick us up off satellite. GE3 transponder 20 here in America. Shortwave, anywhere in the world. Internet, anywhere in the world. Here's Dallas, Texas, watching on Internet tonight. Says his teaching has encouraged me to take up another language. Good. Now, almost every phone got busy, so I don't want to interrupt. I'm asking you to call and let me know if you appreciate the teaching every night. I'm probably going to be live tonight, tomorrow night, maybe Wednesday night. I want to know that you like the programming. And the only way I'm going to know is you get on the phone and tell me. You know, I cut that song off. Give me some music you can dance to. I mean, try dancing to that thing. Boom, boom, ting, ting, tum, tum, ting, ting, tum. That would have shut the sparrow up that I imitated. I mean, we're a first-class operation. Give me first-class music. Now, get some good music so these people can listen to it in the background and call me. I want some more calls. Get on telephone. You know, I'm getting some pretty good messages. I don't know anybody else just plays music on the air and lets you call and pay us the money we're paying for this. But this is... Hear from him. Could be a first-time caller. It's not a King's House. Or if people ask if you're a King's House, don't be offended. We're not going to go through the phone and take your bank book or anything. But King's Houses are those that have made commitments to watch at least once a week and support in some way. And we keep track of them. King's Houses, we're just interested that they are watching at least once a week and call in and let us know. So that's why we ask you. But if you're not a King's House, it doesn't make a second-class citizen out of you. And don't be offended that we ask. I hear from Hemet, and they're not a King's House, King's Dish, or any of those things. I appreciate you. I'm caring for my mother who's sick. Good for you. I'm watching for about 3 weeks. I reserve one adult. They're going to come to the cathedral Sunday. That's great. Now, here's some more that are like that. Thousand Oaks, I don't know if it's a first-time caller, but no indications they'd ever call before. I want to let him know I like the way he talks. Straight talking, that's what I like. I like what you have to say. I'll listen to that from you all night. God, Scott, I'd like to thank you with all humbleness and appreciation that you taught me the name of my God. I found it. I'm staying on it. He did hear me and he did answer me. Thank you for this link to my God. And from Compton, can I get some tickets for Sunday? No, some people, yes, you can get some tickets. But some have asked, the no is anticipating what I'm going to say. Some have said, well, is there a charge for the tickets? No. No. I just want to know that you understand you're coming to be taught, and it's like a college classroom. We take care of your kids up to 2. There's a nursery care. From 2 to 12, air-conditioned buses, adult supervision. The pastor takes the kids to one of some 40 museums in the area. And we've done it for so many years, they expect our kids and are usually prepared for them and especially tailor the program knowing that our kids are coming. From 2 to 12, non-discussable. If you've got a 3 or 4 year old who's never been away from you, then father or mother can go with the kids to the museum. The other parent sit in the service. I want the kids to know you don't have to park your brain to be a Christian. You don't have to be afraid of asking questions or opening up your mind. And I want them to understand it's a privilege when they're 12 to be able to come into the cathedral. And teenagers, sit with their parents. Not discussable. It's my classroom. If you're married or of age, then I expect you to act like an adult and sit there and join the teaching. I'm not interested in a church that makes its kids hate coming to church because they're made to go. Kids in our church wake their parents up for fear they'll miss the trip to the children's museum. That's the way we do it. It's between 9th and Olympic on Broadway in the heart of downtown. You can't miss it. Can I get some tickets for Sunday to adults? Yes. We really appreciate the teaching and your intelligence. Northwestern Pennsylvania. He said, get on the phone, so I'm on the phone. I like people like that. Newport Beach. I'm totally enjoying the program. First-time caller. You're so straightforward. You're not into the hypocrisy of the other churches. That's why I left the church. Thanks so much. I'll keep listening and call again. I have a host of people in the cathedral that stop going to institutional churches for the same reason. I say send every sinner in town. I'm not going to try to convert you, not going to single you out, not going to try to change you. I just teach you God's word, and faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Compton, new watcher. We're making a reservation for the cathedral this Sunday. You're a great teacher. Good. I will not single any of you out. You have a right to come, not be pounced on. If you want to be friendly and extend yourself to the ushers and anyone else, you'll find we have friendly people. But my people are cautioned against treating you like a potential scalp. You ought to be able to come Take your seat. Go on a Bible tour. 50-some stations you can learn about the history of the Bible. And be left alone. But the time's moving on, so no more calls for a few minutes. I want to show you something. We have in 50-some stations at the cathedral, we have a complete history of how we got our Bible. Copies of the three oldest Bibles that exist, 4th and 5th century, Alexandrinus, 5th century, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, 4th century. From the room of the book, through the only time in 400 years that all 7 first printings of the King James have been assembled in one place, and the only time it ever will happen, because there's only 2 of one of them, and the other one's in an institution, untouchable, only 3 of another one, many one-of-a-kind manuscripts as we trace the history from the oldest manuscripts to the present. I've been looking for a long time for this Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex, revered by those who produced the Masoretic text of the Old Testament, so revered that it was kept in isolation in Aleppo, almost worshipped, and a fire destroyed part of the Pentateuch. And those who rescued it from the fire took it to Jerusalem. It has been a source of controversy in recent years because the Syrian church wants this treasure back. And it was restored and revered in Jerusalem. And this marvelous manuscript, I find my glasses. Here they are. You interested in this?
Yes, sir.
It almost gets lost in the vast accumulation on display at the cathedral. But Moshe Goshen Goldstein says, a word of personal satisfaction and gratitude may not be out of order commemorating the publication of this copy. When the Hebrew University Bible Project started its activities about 20 years ago, and this was written in 1976, so that would have been 56, 8 years after the formation of Israel, it was largely with a view to the possibilities opened. Hear that. The vast Hebrew University Bible Project that's gained attention around the world started its activities about 20 years ago, and it was largely with the view to the possibilities open to the fact that the Aleppo Codex had been rescued after the fire in Aleppo and brought safely to Jerusalem. The Codex has remained at the core of much of our work at the Hebrew University Bible Project. Moshe says, I've lived with its problems, studying and planning, but also pleading and fighting, on and off for all these years. I can't mention here all those without whose assistance and interest the Codex could not have been published. 3 successive presidents of the State of Israel and 3 presidents of the Hebrew University have been actively involved much beyond the call of their official duties. It is my privilege to repay this debt in some fashion by presenting the first copy to the President Ephraim Katzer through President Abraham Harmon of the Hebrew University. This Aleppo Codex is as valuable as this copy, which is a copy, is, and as hard as it is to obtain. I finally found this in Australia, and it came by ship. It's really dimmed by the room of the sacred Torah, with Torahs that we have in that room. But this one has a specific quality, the Aleppo Codex, because of the accuracy of the points and the vowels and the when we talk about the recensions of the Hebrew Bible and go from the Bible to the Talmuds, you have the Babylonian and the Palestinian. And the Tiberian manuscripts, of which this is an expression, more than any other, became the pattern. This is the first complete Hebrew Bible with all the notations and strokes and vowel points and detail that those who revere the Torah as the sacred scripture have dedicated their life to preserving and passing on. This was the pattern that was used by the major scholars that brought forth the Masoretic text. Page after page is this marvelous Aleppo manuscript, which will go on display in the cathedral as one of the major sources of what is now the accepted Masoretic text. I'm skipping pages galore, as you can see. It'll be on display probably not this week, but within the next few weeks at either Station 50 or one of the others. Then it will go somewhere on display in the entrance area to the Room of the Sacred Torahs, which in many respects dim even this manuscript. I'm going to show you that tonight. It's not just a few Bibles on display. The education in how we got our Bible is unmatched. It's one of the best-kept secrets in Los Angeles. In the Syriac display, temporarily, because it should be a part of another display that we're putting together, is this, what is known to the scholars as Simonides' manuscript of certain portions of the Gospel of St. Matthew. This is a copy that I had made for my own personal research, the one from which this copy was made, is in the room just outside the room of the book at the cathedral. I want to read you something from it. For those of you that are overly impressed with the non-scholarship and salesmanship of the so-called Jesus Seminar that are touted endlessly on the Discovery Channel, touted endlessly by various sections of the media, without honestly telling you that the members of the Jesus Seminar have an agenda a priori, and as a PhD graduate in philosophies of education from Stanford, I'm offended at what I consider to be non-honest, quote, scholarship. If there's any one thing I learned doing a PhD, I respected my profs there for their honesty more than most preachers I'd ever met. You learn to be captured by truth. That's where I learned the phrase that a teacher turns lights on. And if there's dirt in the room, you're never the same. You know it's there. And you are going to either turn the light out, cover up the dirt, ignore it, sweep it under something, or clean it up. There are other options. You're never the same. I imbibed a love of truth. I remember early on being staggered by a student being thrown out of school for plagiarizing. producing a paper without honestly saying the source from which he got it. And we're seeing that infection in New York Times and a major television lady commentator whose books plagiarized. And I was very pleased to find something I shouldn't have found, that one of the letters of recommendation in the Stanford placement file for me said, Gene Scott can be misunderstood as appearing dogmatic. But having worked with him, this was one of my major profs, I learned that he's totally non-ego involved with his idea. He's tenacious that you understand his idea and the basis for it. But his mind works like a computer. You introduce a fact that he wasn't aware of, the whole fact frame rearranges, and you'll be arguing with him, and he's already changed. It's something that's so ingrained in me, it's not something that I consciously have to do. Philosophy teaches you logic. Attorneys learn rhetoric, how to sound logical and win the argument. I've said it 1,000 times. Logic says all men have 2 legs. This is a man. Therefore, it has 2 legs. Rhetoric says all men have 2 legs. This has 2 legs. Therefore, it's a man. No, it isn't. It's a chicken. Sounds logical, but it's clever. The Jesus Seminar has a mission. They don't tell the news people that they meet and they vote on manuscripts for the sayings of Jesus, and they have a criteria for voting. If it records a miracle, since miracles can't happen, it gets the black marble. It's out. If it quotes the Old Testament, there's implications of fulfilled prophecy thereby. So, it doesn't matter. You don't analyze the manuscript on its own merits. It just couldn't be true. Because prophecy is a miracle, and miracles can't happen. Jesus, the only preacher, couldn't quote Scripture. If there's an implication that he's uttering a prophecy, that's a miracle, so blackball it. Narrative, like the prodigal son. Since they've already decided that these Gospels were written in the 2nd and 3rd century by people who tried to give it credibility by lying and putting the name on it of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, but it was written in the 2nd and 3rd century, and therefore they're writing down what was carried forward with oral tradition, and it's impossible for 200 years to go by and tell a long story accurately. So if it's got a narrative, that's blackballed. When they get done, doesn't matter what scholarship, philology, or anything else, archaeology, or anything else says about the manuscript, they end up saying that only 3% of Mark is valid, because their preconceived notion that these stories and the Gospels cannot be written by eyewitnesses, and that's their a priori frame of reference, and they vote accordingly, and thus eliminate anything. I just gave you the list. Well, they're full of it. They're just plain full of it. But here's Simonides' manuscript. Let me read this to you. I hope I can do it in the next 7 minutes. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
On the 13th of February, 1860, don't tell me they don't know all this. They got an agenda all their own. It's like that phalanx of attitude I ran into when I went into university, that I couldn't be accepted, believe in the miracle of the resurrection, for example. It's okay to believe that Jesus is a good and wise teacher like other founders. Well, sorry, you need to order my Easter message. The only Jesus to be found in history made claims about himself that mean he's either a demented person who believes the impossible about himself. He could be good and believe the impossible. Or he's a fraud and con man who convinces others about the impossible of what he's claiming. So he's either wise enough to be a con man and wise enough to know that what he's saying about himself is not true, and he could be wise but not good. Or he's too dumb to know that he's saying the impossible about himself, and he can be a megalomaniac idiot and still be good. Only the resurrection verifies his right to make those claims, and no other respected founder of religion made those claims. So it was obvious my profs were trying to present a Christ to me that didn't exist in history, so why listen to him? The same with the Jesus Seminar. On 13th of February, 1860, I called on that distinguished scholar, Joseph Meyer, in company with the Philhellenist James Smith, for the purpose of inspecting his collection. Through the introduction of my friend Smith, I soon became familiar with this gentleman, and after a long conversation on antiquities, and particularly the Egyptian Museum, which he had founded in Liverpool at his own expense, he presented me with a free ticket of admission. Having accepted the ticket and thanked my entertainer, I took my leave and set out with Mr. Smith to the museum. Here I closely examined the relics of antiquity treasured within it, especially the Egyptian, and noted such as were more peculiarly important. Afterwards, I visited the collection several times for the sake of the intellectual gratification it afforded, and having still more accurately inspected the more important relics I had previously noted and convinced myself of their value, I reported the results of my researches to Mr. Mayer, the owner, on whom I again called in company with Mr. Smith. Accordingly, we all three proceeded at once to the museum, where I pointed out the most historical of its contents and concisely explained to them the contents of each hieroglyphic monument. They were much pleased with the interpretation, and after a variety of difficulties had been alleged, which I obviated to the best of my ability, Mr. Mayer gave me copies of the greater portion of the Egyptian remains contained in his museum in order to interpret them. And at the same time, several rolls of papyrus discovered in the Egyptian coffins to serve as confirmatory proofs. These I took, and after promising that I would strictly fulfill Mr. Mayer's request, we all separated. He went into research, and the writings of London newspapers contained the following. To my surprise, he's still talking, I discovered first three fragments and subsequently two others containing a portion of the Gospel according to St. Matthew written about the 15th year after the ascension of our Savior by the hands of Nicholas the Deacon, that is to say in the 48th year after the incarnation of the Divinity. For at the end of the fifth fragment, and there are copies of those papyrus fragments in subsequent pages as I rush along here. For at the end of the fifth fragment, which contains the latter part of the 28th chapter of Matthew, the following words occur in capital Greek letters, no spaces, no punctuation, translated, the Greek is here, can read it, but translated, the writing by the hand of Nicholas the deacon at the dictation of Matthew, the apostle of Jesus Christ. It was done in the 15th year after the ascension of our Lord. That's 48 A.D. And was distributed to the believing Jews and Greeks in Palestine. This discovery was first imparted to Mr. Mayer, who communicated it at the archaeological meeting which he assembled at his museum on the 1st of May, 1860, immediately upon the conclusion of Mr. Thomas Wright's admirable discourse on the remains of the ancient Roman city just discovered in Wroxeter, England. The Liverpool Mercury, May 2nd, 1860, makes the following observations, quote, discovery of an ancient biblical manuscript at Mr. Mayer's Museum of National and Foreign Antiquities and Works of Art. In this museum are a great number of Egyptian, Coptic, and Greek manuscripts written on papyrus, linen, leather, and stone relating to various subjects, historical, religious, etc. And Mr. Mayer has entrusted the unrolling of the papyri to the learned Dr. Simonides, so well known throughout Europe for his great proficiency in deciphering ancient writings. And he has already found parts of three leaves of a papyrus scroll containing the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, written in Greek uncial, that's capital, uncial character, the reading of which will cause a great sensation among bibliophilists as it sets at rest that long misunderstanding part of the 24th verse relating to the passing of a camel through the eye of a needle, which rose from the wrong reading of the Greek text. The state of the manuscript has every appearance from the form of the letter and other rules used as guides to paleographers, indicating it belonged to the first century after the death of Christ and consequently older than any other Christian document known to exist. And as I said, in the back are pictures of the fragments. This is on display in the Syriac display down next to the room of the book. Jesus Seminar people have their head in some dark place rather close to their body. Now, get on the telephone if you enjoy the time every night. You got a few minutes left, and we'll be here after we go off Channel 56. Write the number down and call me and let me know if you appreciate the time we're here with the teaching every night, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11, and 7 to 11 Sunday night. I want to hear from you. Get on the phone. The music will take us out, but we'll still be here taking calls from you. Write the number down and call me. Okay, some wonderful calls. I stayed past 11 because I want to know if we're on Channel 25. We pay a considerable amount of money to be on Channel 25, which took the place, Channel 38, we used to be on just about all night, changed to Channel 25. Now, I'm told that when we went past 11, I don't know who checked or where, that Channel 25 didn't pick us up. We pay for that time, and I'm staying on because I want all of you in the Los Angeles area that have UHF antennas, particularly on the west side, see if you can pick up Channel 25. I want to know whether we're on or not. It's the only way I can find out. And you can start doing that while I talk to you for a few moments. Plenty of people watching on satellite, plenty of people watching or listening on shortwave or watching on internet. Go check and see if we're on Channel 25. And if you see us, I want you to call me and tell me. Hesperia. Hello, my name is, and they give it to me. I live in Hesperia in the high desert. I lost track of Pastor since Hope Street. I'm so happy for Channel 56. I'll be praying for Carl Wayne, and I won't lose track again. Thank you for Channel 56. Lakewood, I'm a Catholic. I listen to you, sir, because you teach straight from the Bible. It's important that we hear the truth. The other stations blow smoke. Is the young lady your wife or your daughter-in-law? God made sure there was never another one of me, so I don't have a son. And she is my wife. I'm dyslexic, and that makes me 47. And she can't hardly keep up with me on the bicycle rides, but she could do better than anybody else. That's my wife. I appreciate your programming, Long Beach. You amaze me that you and God whip cancer through faith. You're the finest teacher I've seen. Thank you for 56. That's nice. This is interesting. Santa Barbara, watching on KDOC. I go to the University of California at Santa Barbara. I don't see all the phones going light all of a sudden with 25 watchers. I go to the University of California at Santa Barbara. We watch you here in the religious studies department. I want you to know that my Greek has really improved since I started watching you. Get on the phone. Okay, I don't have sound, do I? Now I do. Well, that's what I expected. And I'll take care of it. We pay for the time for 2 hours from 11 to 1. Not cheap. We're talking thousands. They're playing soccer news in Spanish. I know what to do. Now we'll go to the table of the Lord after the next song. It ain't going to help them. We just went on now. 10 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour now. We paid for 11 o'clock. Now, I know exactly what to do. And don't even try telling me that we're on, because when I draw this line in the sand, all of a sudden, we go on. Tucker News was on at 11 o'clock. I paid for that time. If you're listening, I still know what to do. And I think you know that I know what to do.